I'm freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy, and I do not have a catchphrase.
What have we here?
Go fuck yourself.
And I am a sports entertainer.
Ladies, gentlemen, and bees, this is the Eat Sleep Elite Repeat Podcast, your weekly review and breakdown of everything AEW. I am the Digital Duke, also known as the Digital Phantom. This is my good friend, Charlie. How's it going there, buddy?
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Charlie's got a peg leg and no dick. No, anyway.
Ain't got no dick.
No dick. So we're back. It's more AEW review. Good stuff this week. A really fun week of wrestling to watch. I was actually kind of into wrestling this week. I think the only thing I didn't watch, like, the day that it came out was Collision. And I think it was just because toward the end of last week, I was just kind of, like, beat. I was like, nah, I'm good. But I watched it, like, last night, and I was like, I should have watched this sooner. This was actually really fun. Because there was something I had against Collision. It's just toward the end of the week, even though it is one of the shows that I like to review. Obviously, because, you know, I'm the Collision person, you know, and, you know, I was just like, at the end of the week, I'm feeling wrestling right now. You know what I mean? Especially if I've caught up like I have all week, but I will say 9 times out of 10, when I do that, I do end up watching everything like pretty closely to when it came out, but it, you know, it didn't really, and I don't know if I'll necessarily feel the onus to do that this week, because I believe the next Collision is going to be taped because it's Grand Slam, right?
Yeah.
So,
they're loading that fucking thing up.
So no live Collision next week, but that usually doesn't really affect Collision that too much. It's not like other taped wrestling shows. It does feel like an episode of Collision usually still, you know, whereas like a taped Raw will feel like a Raw inside a box, you know what I mean? Like, because everyone has to hit their times a lot more specifically, you know what I mean? But I think that's the only thing that might feel a little bit different about it is it might feel a little more rushed because they're not able to do like overruns and stuff when they're recording. I mean, they could do an overrun on a recording, but like, you know, that would be really, really precise you'd have to be, I'd think, right? So, but anyway. But that being said, you know, obviously we got our normal stuff that we talk about every week, you know, our reviews and all that and blah, blah, blah. To pull up my studio chat here. Oh, great. It's not even showing any of the stuff you typed in there. Awesome. Great. Useful. All right. And, you know, love that. You know what I mean?
Of course.
But anyway, that being said, though, I mean, I don't need it anyway. I was just going to see if you typed anything in there just to get my brain on the right track. But I know how to do this podcast anyway. So, it's been a while since I did one of these. Like, I haven't even done this on any of our shows. So, a quick reminder, whatever podcast platform you happen to be listening to this on, make sure you follow and or subscribe. Just keep up with the show and show it to your friends and so on. Get this podcast, you know, jumping. You know, I think we actually fall into a demographic of AEW fans, not just the sickos, right? But, like, we also, like, I feel like the level of... I was listening to Will Washington talking in an interview with MXM last night.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how they were surprised. Well, I should say MXM were talking about how surprised they were that everybody that's a fan of AEW is a hardcore, pretty much.
Yeah.
Which isn't the perception that I had. It's changed. When we first started this, there were casual AEW fans. You know what I mean? And it seems like that's changed. And I'm not sure if that's because some of those casuals got pushed away, maybe, by some of the brawl out stuff. And so the people that stuck around, this is their thing. Or if it's just the way AEW fans in general are, because there is a reason that Tony Khan refers to us as the sickos. We don't miss a single thing, you know what I mean? So, I don't know, I just thought that was a really cool little moment to acknowledge. Like, also, our boy Will Washington, you know, that's our guy, you know, so I gotta shout out to him. I gotta say, though, and this is no offense to him, whenever I see him do interviews, he seems so fucking nervous, man. Like, I don't know, I mean, I would be too, but... Yeah, I picture him as this like super professional interviewer that's been doing it for years, and seems still very, very genuine and nervous. So, you know, that's why maybe he's just not wanting to make people look bad. I don't know, you know what I mean? But like, either way, it was just something I noticed. Every time I noticed something like that, I always point it out because I think it's interesting. But nothing against Will. I noticed it. I was like, huh, you good, Will? You all good there, bud? But yeah, I mean, I guess with that being said, Charlie, I mean, we always like to start off the week with our favorites, you know, and, you know, I'll toss it to you since you have the bump this week. So take us away there, Power Chief or Bud there, Skippy.
Yeah, another really strong week. Even in a strong week, we had a forgettable Rampage, which, you know, we'll see what happens with that. Hope, you know, we still
more than likely probably won't be a problem for too much longer, you know?
Yeah, it's not looking like it will be. And we're going to jump to Dynamite. for my favorite here. There was a couple options I really want to pick, either on Collision or Dynamite, but I'm going to jump to the Dynamite main event as my favorite this week. So that is none other than Will Ospreay, Kyle Fletcher, maybe the AEW's United Empire. Keep an eye on for that. And Konosuke Takeshita with Don Callis defeating the Elite, Kazuchika Okada, Matthew, and Nicholas Jackson. This was the definition of an action-packed main event that, honestly, you don't know who's going to win it because of all the big superstar names involved, right? These are six genuine superstar talents in AEW. And whenever you get these kind of matches announced, that you get a little tingle in your step because you can just think of all the one-on-ones you're going to have. And we had some great ones. It was Ospreay and Okada, Takeshita and Okada especially. And honestly, I thought opening up the match with Kyle Fletcher and Nicholas, I was like, this is some good shit. You knew right away you were in for some good shit. And I think that was very important. And yeah, we had a good winner here with Takeshita countered a Rainmaker into a Blue Thunder Bomb, which then he hits a somersault dive on the outside immediately after. I thought that was sick. Ospreay and Fletcher hit the Coriolis with Fletcher getting the pin on Matthew. I believe it was Matthew. Exciting pin. You know, this leads us to the tag team championships being defended at Grand Slam, which we will have our Grand Slam predictions at the end of the show. We'll kind of, you know, they've loaded up a respectful card. So for respect out of that card.
I think last week we looked at it at the end of the show and it was looking okay. We only had a couple matches. We're sure they're going to add some stuff. Sure enough, they did. I mean, you know.
Yeah, now they've loaded this thing up. So, hey, if they want to respect the card, we will too. And we'll be talking about it. So
card respected.
Yeah. Other than that, just a really high quality tag team match involving high quality players. And we've actually needed the Young Bucks to get a little bit back on track.
I think I heard Brian Alvarez, or maybe it wasn't Brian, it was Mike Sempervive. One of the people at Wrestling Observer said, this is the first Young Bucks match I've seen that was really good in a while. And that kind of blew my mind. I was like, wow.
We needed him to get back on track.
Definitely. I was like, I don't think their matches have been bad, but that's what people think. That's wrestling for you nowadays, Charlie. If you're not having a fucking five-star match every time, you're not having good matches. And that's fucking insane to me.
Fine matches. They haven't been bad, but they haven't been to the quality that we've known them to come to, you know? And this was a supreme high quality fucking six-man tag main event. So yeah, that being said, any thoughts you had on this one, and then what was your favorite of the week, mate?
Absolutely. You know, just a really exciting, you know, high pressure situation to put all these guys into, you know. You never really know when you put somebody like Kyle in these situations. Like we know at this point with Kyle, right? But with somebody of Kyle's age and experience, you just don't know what he's gonna do when you keep putting him in situations like this. You just expect him to fumble at some point, you know what I mean? And I gotta say, man, we may have to like some extra structural support and just make him the fifth pillar, whether Danny goes or not, because like that dude is just, he's the next star in AEW. It's not even a question to me at this point. I've been noticing him for a while. If we had an award that was like next up, I think he wins it this year. You know what I mean? Like he's been teetering on the edge. I mean, the guy was Ring of Honor television champion for a good while this year. You know what I mean? And that was on a pivot. I'm pretty sure that title was going to get won by other people at points. You know what I mean? Like, I think that was just a decision they made because they realized how over Kyle was. You know what I mean? So, I mean, you know, Kyle stands out to me. Okada is always going to Okada. You know what I mean? The Young Bucks, like we said, finally back into form, it feels like. I do still want this title run to end of theirs, unfortunately. And it may end with the titles. We may Will as a double champion here. I mean, it's something we've been threatening with Will for a while. It wouldn't be that surprising. I don't think it's going to happen, but I mean, you never know. I mean, AEW is literally anything can happen because, you know, if WWE did that, if WWE made somebody both tag champion and world champion, I would be, or not world champion, you know, singles champion, I'd be a little concerned because who knows how they're going to handle that, right? AEW, I've seen it before. They just usually don't defend both titles, which is annoying, but it is what it is, you know?
And one of the options we have here is Will Ospreay is such a strong booked wrestler. I mean, we've been talking about it last week, how he's winning these big matches all the time. Who's to say he can't beat the Young Bucks, you know? Absolutely.
It certainly would be one of the few ways that you could elevate him even further, you know what I mean? There's not many people left for him to beat that'll actually take him up to another level. That is one of them, you know? But my favorite this week was from Collision. It was actually our opening to Collision this week. It was for the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Championships. It was a bunkhouse brawl match between Sammy Guevara and Dustin Rhodes and The Kingdom's Matt Taven and Michael Bennett. Never calling him Michael again, but Mike Bennett. But yeah, I thought the remix song that they did of the Dustin and Sammy's themes was fine. It was fine.
The word I thought of was cute. I was like,
yeah, not
the greatest theme you've ever heard. It's cute.
They have opportunity to mix it again. You know what I mean? Like, so, and if they decide they just want to do separate entrances again, be perfectly fine with that too. Doesn't really matter in AEW. Swerving our glory got away with it for like a year. So, you know, like, I think we can get away with it in AEW. But anyways, yeah, we got some good stuff in here. So it's some nice little references to the actual bunkhouse brawls of old yore, you know, where they'd have like, you know, the belt buckle and the fucking goddamn, you know, shit like the, what was the other one? There was a cowbell was introduced at one point. You know what I mean? It's a cowbell and belt buckle violence. There was a fucking taser at one point, you know. Obviously, no one's ever going to really get tased in a wrestling match, you know, obviously. But, I mean, imagine if they did once. The thing is, it's too much of a health risk, obviously.
If you had, like, I don't know if they make these, but, like, a very, very low-grade taser where it's basically, like, a fucking...
Yeah, essentially, like, a prank taser, right?
Yeah.
But you made it look physically like a real taser, you know what I mean? Like, to fuck with people, right? The problem with that is when people would start using those in real... And this probably doesn't exist because of this exact reason, because people would just start fucking with their friends, right? But, you know, like... Like, if they could invent something like that, that would be cool. But it'd be a cool spot. I mean, I maintain that one of the coolest spots I've ever seen is Swerve Strickland hitting a fucking smash bottle on somebody's head and them falling off a fucking thing and that being the end of a match. If you could end a match with somebody getting tased and the authorities, the fucking, you know, the medical staff rushing in and being like, oh my God, they just got tased. We need to get them to a fucking hospital. You know
Seth Rollins, the Hell in a Cell match with the fucking sledgehammer.
Do you know what I mean, though? Like, we could do that, and it could look really fucking intense. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, but...
One of the spots I really loved in this match was they did the chair spot to Dustin. Matt Taven took an absolute brutal fucking chair, backbreaker on a chair. But they did a chair spot on Dustin, and then Mike Bennett held the chair in front of Dustin's face, and Matt bounced off the ropes and hit his knee. Really, really loved that spot.
There was a lot of really good stuff in this. Like, there was, like, the neck breaker.
Yeah.
Did Sammy hit this? I thought he was going to hit a cutter, but he just hit, like, a nice little neck breaker with a chair. I mean, like, Sammy hit a nice little bump, like, almost essentially swanton himself into a table, basically, off the ladder.
And the match wasn't crazy long. This was, like, perfect.
It wasn't super long, but it took the time that it needed, though.
Yeah.
It was a very good show, bunkhouse match to open us up. The power slam attempt on the chair was brutal, though. My God, you know?
Oh, God, yeah.
I shout out Matt Taven for taking the suplex on it, though.
The ultimate welcome back for Sammy Guevara. I think his run since he's returned has been awesome.
Oh, my God. We have to talk about the barbed wire nard delete a tree. Oh, my God.
Okay, yeah, that was nuts.
Literally. Well, not long. You know, it wasn't nuts for long after, you know? But, yeah, no, that was crazy. Yeah, just a good mode. Open us up match. Like you said, Sammy, welcome the fuck back, you know?
I'm loving his work since he's been back.
Dude, especially the Ricochet match. I mean, dude's been on a fucking run.
Yeah.
He's hungry, you can tell. Sammy comes back.
We're getting him booked every week, and he's taking advantage of it.
That's what we like to see. That was always our complaint about Sammy, is that he'd be on for, like, 3, 4, or 5 weeks, have a, like, legit feud, maybe even win a championship, and then we wouldn't see him for, like, a while. It's super weird.
Working
I don't know what
all
it is.
Four shows too. If you go down the lineage here, he worked Ring of Honor against the Dark Order, and then worked Rampage against the Dark Order, and then Dynamite Ricochet, and now Collision. This, I mean, he's working all four shows. He got booked on the pay per view. Like, I think this babyface run with Sammy Guevara is off to a very, very good start. I know there's a lot of people that have said multiple times for years they'll never really be able to buy him as a babyface, but I don't know. I think
it's just because they're fucking assholes. Let's be honest.
I think this is the one time that I think it's working.
If you can't buy Sammy as a babyface for like reasons that don't have anything to do with him as a wrestler or a character, then I don't even know what to say at that point.
I think it was
the
association with Jericho, and it was really they tried like a couple times, and it just didn't happen. They'd flip him right back, and it's just like now. Sticking him with Dustin, you know, embracing the family man aspect, like, it's working.
So you're saying Sammy needed to have a child to be taken seriously as a good guy? Damn, crazy, Sammy. That's tough.
I think so.
Just comes off as a fucking player, huh?
Well, let's jump into our news. We don't have a lot today, and then we'll get through our Ring of Honor, Dynamite, Rampage, and Collision results here.
Mm-hmm.
The The latest news this week is, with Daniel Garcia, the saga continues. Meltzer believes that AEW is no longer as certain as they once were to re-sign Daniel Garcia. They're not as confident as they once were. Again, I think this is just following up reports. I still feel like Daniel Garcia is going to AEW, but look, if WWE wants him that bad, I'm sure that they're going to really push hard, but I really want to see Daniel Garcia continue his story in AEW, you know? I think there's a lot of avenues for him. So
I will say, if I'm looking at this from Daniel's perspective, it has been a constant stop start for him since his start in AEW. And at this point, he doesn't even have 2.0 to be an anchor for him to keep people in his mind, keeping himself in people's minds. You know what I mean? So, and every time he's tried to do something on AEW, it has resonated with me and you, and it doesn't seem like it has with the rest of the audience for more than a few weeks. Because
definitely doesn't feel like the masses get behind him as much as we do.
I mean, it'll be crazy. He'll be one of the most over acts 1 week, and then he'll go to another town, and it'll be not crickets, but it'll be not far off, and it's kind of mind-blowing. I don't know what it is that's not connecting with
some of the other sickos out there. Love him like we do, though, at least.
Oh, yeah. No, the hardcores, and that is a majority of the AEW fan base. So a good amount of our fan base, as if it's ours, you know what I mean? But like the fan base is into him. I just don't know if it's connecting like it's supposed to be, because there wouldn't be these conversations at all if everything was just great and it was working, you know what I mean? So
yeah, there's a lot of guys we've been able to re-sign in AEW this year. I think this is, after MJF, I think this is probably our next biggest target here. So
it all depends on what Tony sees in him. And if he doesn't see what we see, then it's going to be really difficult for him to justify shelling out that money. You know what I mean?
I mean, look, we're going to talk Grand Slam at the end of the show, but Jack Perry is doing that open challenge. You want to show Daniel how much he means to you? Let's get him out there and fucking win that thing. Let's get something big going. Let's go fucking crazy with it.
That would feel very much like a let's fucking give him the championship so he doesn't leave move. You know what I mean? Like, which that never ends up going the way you want it to, you know, like.
Give that brother some gold. At least give him the match, you know, let him go out there and go crazy. Speaking of injuries, Eddie Kingston, he says he's starting to get itchy at home. He was on
you should go to a doctor about that.
And he said it's been a process. It's going good until my insurance acts up. And that's where I get annoyed. Insurance is a fraud, folks. Just throwing that out there. And he gets itchy now. He's able to walk and work out more. I can walk. I can lift weights now. I can do squats a little bit. Not too low. Now it's at the point of, let's hurry up and get this going. So it looks like it's a kind of a New York-themed podcast that brought him in. And that's pretty cool. He says video games, and he's been really just going in about his New York sports team. So
I bet Andy Kingston plays like – I bet he's like, you know how – like, it's not AJ Styles. Who's the one that's infamously like this where they play? Oh, it's Triple H, where he does play video games, but he only plays like the video games that he played back when he was on the road. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that were like cabinets and stuff. I would be not surprised if Eddie Kingston was a similar vibe. Like, he's got like an SNES or something like that at home, and he loves whatever games he plays on there. And he's never touched a modern video game. Maybe even has an Xbox, plays like Madden. And he probably plays Madden, actually. That's probably what he plays. Let's be honest. He plays Madden, maybe probably has like an N64 to play like the old wrestling games, you know what I mean? Or some of the other wrestling, game consoles. But I could see that being him, because that's a lot of wrestlers, is they'll play the wrestling games and they'll play a few other games, like sports related. Because I think I've heard Eddie talk about Madden before, but...
Yeah.
Oh, no, he's definitely playing the college football game. Let's keep it a buck. He's probably an NFL fan, but he's playing college football for sure.
Kota Ibushi has been announced for the Gleet show next month, so showing his return. He's been training with Kenny Omega lately, so that's a good sign for everything involved with the Golden Lovers.
And bro, we're talking about how AEW got fucked. Gleet got owned by this fucking contract they signed with this guy. Holy shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Miro has reportedly requested his AEW release. I think this might be the least surprising thing we've seen. He just hasn't... they haven't seen eye to eye with him for a long time, and you know
what sucks is like it seems like I missed just the tail end of when Miro was still being used properly. You know, like
yeah, because he really hasn't been. I mean,
when I came in, if you remember, he was feuding with Sammy because he'd just gotten done feuding with Fuego on behalf of Sammy, right? So that had been like a multi-month feud. Probably by that point is when he's starting to get disillusioned, right?
We literally haven't even seen him in 2024. His last match was at pay-per-view against Andrade at World's End.
At least the two of them got to have that match together before
the loser left, leaves AEW first match, you could almost say.
Essentially, yeah. I mean, it sucks because I think Miro could have had opportunity. I do think there were plenty of times. Do you know when Miro had the most opportunity ever? When CM Punk got injured the first time. And he didn't take that opportunity. He had plenty of opportunity when Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks and CM Punk were off TV for months and months and months and months. And he did not take those opportunities. He was given opportunities against people on TV as recently as last year. Did not take those opportunities to run with them.
Yeah.
I fear for him in the WWE because now it is like AEW. You do need to take your opportunities because people's TV time is a lot more important now in WWE, you know? Especially now that there's only going to be so much and it's all going to be fucking on Netflix. I fear for him, Charlie.
Yeah, I almost wonder how much we're even going to see him in the wrestling business. I just don't even know.
He may just quit. Some people do that. I mean, see it.
Since that big return on Collision episode one, he won like 7 or 8
matches. I thought that was going to change his fucking career.
And just he won his 7 matches. Only like 2 of them really mattered. And that was kind of all we saw of him. He beat Hobbs and he beat Andrade. That was it. So
it seemed like he only ever existed to derail other people's fucking runs. You know what I mean? That's all he ever did. You know, no offense to Miro, but it's the truth. Like,
well,
you know?
He's not injured. So he couldn't come out of iCrazy.
Charlie, I don't remember him ever being injured the entire time we've been watching.
As far as I know, yeah, I don't think he's been either.
It wasn't publicized, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like we've publicized, you know, we've mentioned about how Hobbs is injured and, you know, Wardlow seems to be good now, so we're just waiting on him and stuff like that. But
who now?
The War Dog, of course. None other. It's not working.
Son of a bitch.
That's all right. Our last little bit of news here before we jump into Ring of Honor. Just to follow up on the HBO, imagine, on the Max and AEW stuff. This is from Andrew Zarian. Over the weekend, he stated that AEW pay-per-views will be available on Warner Brothers' own streaming services in January 2025, or potentially even sooner. And during an interview with WFAN, Tony Khan said the relationship with Max could evolve more than that. He said, after the merge, because AEW had been successful, one of the companies, Warner Bros. Discovery, have recently gotten behind and built and grown with. It's awesome for us because as cable has changed, there are a lot of possibilities in streaming. He said, I think the plan is to, now I believe this is Tony Khan talking here. The plan is to, I think, do a lot of things potentially with Max, and that can involve a variety of things. But we have shows on TBS and TNT and how they're available now as far as I think Dynamite, Collision, Rampage, everything's on the table. And again, we've heard rumblings of, you know, getting True TV involved with replays. We've heard rumblings of Shockwave potentially being on No More Rampage. I think the fucking easiest thing Max could do to retain that audience, that, you know, that non-churning audience, which in streaming, you know, I don't know, a lot of you guys that listen to this might not really follow the in-depths of streaming, but the whole big thing is trying to stop churning each month. Because a lot of people pay for streaming 1 month, cancel the next. And if Max, theoretically, can get the AEW pay-per-views, and AEW does a pay-per-view about once a month, that's going to keep you into it, and that's going to keep you subscribed. I think for Warner Bros., that is a big deal. Because they've seen with Peacock and WWE what it's doing. They've seen with ESPN Plus and the UFC what it's doing, even though you have to pay on top of that. But that's a whole other thing. Yeah, I mean,
now, I think the UFC model kind of proves even further that these people that watch this wrestling shit, you sickos, are willing to shell out the extra money if it's a product that they are super passionate about. Here's a real question.
Fight nights, like, no one's
do you think UFC has a more passionate fan base than the WWE or the AEW does? Like, I don't know. Like, maybe.
That?
It's probably a larger fan base, right?
10 years ago, 100%. It's not even
close. Yeah. When the stars were still
right now, where UFC is, you know.
Right. And so if they're willing to do that, we can definitely get some AEW fans to pay. What is Max right now? $18 a month or something like that? Like,
yeah. They'll probably get that bump to 20.
Yeah, I'm sure. With
just assume $20 a month by the time AEW.
That's about $20-$25 a month, probably, because this probably isn't the only thing they're adding. Let's be honest. You know what I mean?
Which that's for your AEW pay per views. That's for all your Warner Brothers movies. Even everything DC. You know, you're getting your money's worth.
So two questions. I have two follow ups for Tony Khan when he has the information. I would love for him to explain this to us. And if I was in these, you know, press meetings, calls, whatever, these are probably the questions that would immediately spring to mind. Will previous pay per views be uploaded to Max? right? Are we going to have a library? Is that the reality? Or is that a future discussion, negotiation we can have that you guys are going to have with Max in the future? And if that is the case, that adds another thing for people to keep coming back for. The other question I would have is, how long after our pay-per-view are they going to be uploaded?
Yeah.
Is it going to be one of those things where it's being streamed live on, and so there's a literal recording that's just going to be posted afterward like
that,
WWE
did? That would be my guess, yes.
Or is it going to be one of those things where it'll air live, right? Mm. Pay-per-view providers and Max, right? And then it'll be uploaded like the next day or something like that. I do believe currently the model is that you can watch it right away, right after it ends with Bleacher Report, right? So
yes.
I would think they would want to keep that same. Usually businesses don't tend to switch that part up on people, but they could. We'll see.
Yeah. And, you know,
like how you consume it and how you engage with the content. That's usually something they don't want to fuck with.
There's something I've noticed too. There was a YouTube page I stumbled across about a month ago that they first started watching. The first ever thing they watched of AEW was All In. And they were wanting to discover the lore of it, and they were wanting to dive a little deeper.
I have been talking about this since 2021. I'm not even kidding.
Sure enough, there's no way they really can. I mean, they can go through the YouTube history, which AEW has a great job of doing, you know, the entire rivalry on. We've given credit to that many times, but that's not what people want. They want to go back and watch the first All In, see what that shit was all about. And I mean, look, the only thing we can point to is in France right now on Max, you can watch All In. So it's there, but the model's there. And, you know, I can't wait till we get more on this and see where it's going. So yeah, again, at the end, we'll do our Grand Slam predictions. We'll have some fun with that. But that being said, Duke, you have to take us through Ring of Honor first, which we had a shorter episode, but it didn't.
1 hour Ring of Con post, you know, where all our long thick shows are done because I'm assuming the reason why these Ring of Honors were so long was because of the residency, right? I'm assuming.
Yeah. That's how he wants to do Ring of Honor.
And I don't mind that. If we a month or two in a place and we get a really consistent looking Ring of Honor show, completely fine with that. You know what I mean?
I think Tony Khan doesn't like the way Ring of Honor is right now. I think he wants to shoot it like
that. The way Ring of Honor is right now. And it's like my fucking, like, it's one of my favorite things that I get to review. Like, as weird as that sounds, like, it's in a state right now.
I 100% believe that he wants to do Ring of Honor in a thing like he did in Arlington.
I think the best thing that could happen for Ring of Honor would be for them to negotiate some kind of perma deal with some stadium that really, really likes Ring of Honor and really likes the product, right? And then just rent them out one day a week for the next, like, fucking 5 years. You know what I mean?
You don't even need to do it once a week. You can do the tapings.
Why? Right. Well, yeah. The problem with those fucking once a month tapings probably is that you can tell they've been taped once a month. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's one of the things that was hurting early Ring of Honor was when they would do 8 fucking tapings after a collision and then fucking nobody gave 2 shits by match 37. You know what I mean? You sat through one of those, dude. It was not a fun experience.
I'll just die on that hill, though. If you pay for Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
And you go to a Ring of Honor taping and there's no other AEW there.
I just don't know if they will. That's my more there. That is my concern, is that I don't know that we might have a lot of empty arenas, you know what I mean? But we don't know for sure. We'll see.
Yeah, that's why get something like the Universal thing, you know? Or something like Arlington. I mean, how many I don't know exactly how many shows they did there. I think they shot 10.
Well, I think something that Will Washington also said about the Arlington was that, like, the fans there, it became like it almost became like the local wrestling show almost. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I think if you can establish that with some local area, like kind of like how TNA did with Florida for years, and so did Black and Gold NXT with the Florida area as well, you know what I mean? Because how often would we just have like a random Pensacola show or something? Like, NXT would actually tour Florida a little bit occasionally at the beginning, you know what I mean? Like, there wasn't just always shows in fucking, you know what I mean? Like, we can evolve. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm trying to say here is Ring of Honor can actually expand and evolve, and it doesn't have to stay this. Like,
let's take this bitch to all.
Right now, it feels small. You know what I mean? It just feels like irrelevant. You know, like, which sucks because, like, I think the best women's wrestler in the world is like that's it's so underrated is Athena. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't understand how you can have that and that she can be doing the work that she's doing and it just doesn't connect. I don't know. Red Velvet took on Allison Kay in a Ring of Honor Television Championship Proving Ground match. The crowd was cooking for this one. I think Ring of Honor does have a little bit of momentum coming off the last show that I thought actually had a lot of momentum, the last two-hour show. So some W glaze here for me. And we might have to change our show, Charlie, because Red Velvet says she's here to eat, sleep, and breathe wrestling.
Shit, we're fucked, bud.
Nah, she said eat, sleep, breathe. We're good. I was like, when she said eat, sleep, I was like, no. I was like, are we fucked? I was like, is it over? Podcast chant. Shit. Can you imagine if we had to completely start a new podcast because they actually stole our fucking trademark? How mad we would be. Nah, we'd just keep going. We'd say, nah, it was August 1st, bitch. All right. That would be, Tony Khan would be the bitch in this scenario, obviously.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
You know, we can't say that about Red Velvet. She would kick my ass, but, and that's not even, that's a fucking shoot, brother, you know? Dark Order took on Dustin Rhodes and Sammy Guevara. Or sorry, Dark Order taking on Sammy Guevara and Dustin Rhodes. Video package, clarification. Make sure. Gates of Agony caused Dante Leon and Trip Jordy to regret their life decisions, Charlie. Gates of Agony, they exist. I wish they did better stuff with them. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. What is the problem, you think, with the Gates besides, you know, the cage of it
just,
all?
Just stumbled booking and losing matches that matter.
Yeah, I don't even think it's Brian Cage. Brian Cage is just Brian Cage. I could take him or leave him. Like, he doesn't kill a segment for me like some of the other like wrestlers at WWE would.
We can go back to, I think it was around June when they were featured. They beat Private Party.
Yeah.
And then they're featured against Shibata, Joe, and Hook and all that. And then they just lose that. And that's it. That's all they wrote. Yeah, after they beat Private Party, I thought there was a chance that they were ticking up the card, but that was not the case.
I just don't know. Gates of Agony are like, this is why we talk about the tag team division. It's like, you'll establish all these people for months and months and months and months and months and months. And people will be like, oh my God, Gates, what a cool team. And then they just forget they fucking exist. I don't know. And they don't even forget about them. They're just not being, how has this team not been tag team champions? Like, straight up, I'm being honest with you. Like, even Ring of Honor tag team, regular tag team champions for that matter. You know what I mean? That's mind-blowing to me. Because that was the blueprint in my head, was they were going to hold those Trios titles with Brian for a bit, right? And then those two were going to spin off and win those other titles. They set it up. They had a title match, and they lost.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway.
Sums it up.
Anyway, Brandon Cutler came out. And sorry, we had a Brian Danielson Wrestle Dream tease. So, you know, it's being like, oh, will Brian be there? We'll see, you know? So, based on that, I'm guessing it probably will be a Wrestle Dream then. I mean, we're assuming that anyway, but, like, you know. You go on, you know, the big wrestle, you know. Charlie, I don't every now and then expect to turn on Wrestling Observer and see the complaint being that they're not confirming matches. Okay. Anyway, not what I was expecting to see the other day. But, you know, sometimes wrestling is booked a little too subtly for some people, even people that have been in the business, clearly. You know what I mean? But there is that, you know. I don't want to be disrespectful.
Is there anyone that actually thinks the match is not happening?
Brian Alvarez.
Son of a bitch.
I wasn't going to say who it was, but you were like, is there actually anybody? I was like, yeah, no. And that was something I saw on their channel the other day, and I just said, come on, man.
If they pull a red herring on us in this match,
if that's actually the case, and he would be the one to know, right? He would absolutely be the one to know, right?
Yeah, I would lose my shit if this match doesn't happen.
I would be, only if it was going to happen in the future, okay with it. But if it wasn't going to happen at all, and there was just like a fuck you tease, I would actually probably...
Because I guarantee you this is the match moving. If
I can tell you right now, if that happens, I will refuse to talk about the segment. 1,000,000%. I just will not talk about it.
This has to be the one moving tickets, I'm imagining. Grand Slam likes to move tickets.
God, I hope so. Otherwise, where are we at as a wrestling community?
Yeah, Grand Slam's always cool. It's a fun crowd.
Yeah, I remember the Grand Slam crowd last year being too crazy. Like, the first couple of years, it was, like, way more insane, and it was just kind of fine last year.
Danielson versus Kenny Omega in 2021.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, bud, we had some movers there, Chief. Yeah, you know, yeah. Anyway, yeah. So Brandon Cutler came out, said, the town sucks, and then Preston Vance came out to face him. He's like, hey, bro, you gotta show me some respect. So Preston did, you know, respectable young gentleman, you know, and then he beat the shit out of him. Discus Lariat for the win. I really hope they push Preston, actually. It would be good for his career, and I think he could be a Ring of Honor television champion, potentially. And I think him and Atlantis could have a really good match. So I would love to see them push this guy. Charlie, any thoughts on Mr. Preston, Matt? Mr. Former The Mask, number 10.
I'm glad we're getting reps again. You know? I thought the pairing with Roosh worked. I'm glad. I'm sad it's over, but...
Yeah, but it's good, probably better for both of their careers at this point.
Oh, yeah. Roosh has a new angle now.
That would be very interesting. I mean, we'll talk about it. He got a nice little Pinsky there on the main event of Collision. But anyway, yeah, so Brandon Cutler got his ass beat. The Iron Savages were attacking the Outriders last week, and the Infantry making the save. They did a little recap ski of that there, bud. KM took on Johnny Hungy. I just love how Johnny Hungy just loves to beat up larger men for his squashes. It's clearly got to be some sort of fucking, like, meme for him that he does at this point. Like, because, like, obviously it doesn't really... In your mind, you're, like, always like, oh, you're either going to get a similar sized guy that, like, you know, you can then just say, oh, less experienced, right? And that could be the, you know, the gimmick. Or the bigger guy, and same thing, right? But he takes it to the most extreme. He finds a guy that's, like, 2 feet taller than him, and he beats that guy as the guy that's less experienced than him, and I love that. Yeah, it's classic John Silver there, you know what I mean? A big-ass dog just barked. I'm sure everybody heard that. But he said, hey. But he said, hey, mother... Anyway, but anyway, yeah, so solid stuff there. Josh Woods, you know, is being put over in a little video here. I don't know what to do to get him to the next step. He's good. He's good in the ring.
Yeah.
Good on the mic. Looks good. I don't know what it is. Figure something out there, Tony Khan. Rachel Ellering took on Maggie Lee. Trained by Seth Rollins. So Shout out Maggie Lee. Solid, quick match, but yeah. And a cute little pose by Rachel at the end. Like, aw. Like, oh, okay. Okay, I see what you're doing there. I'm trying to be fucking cute Rollins over there.
Deep fucking teach.
Think that's going to get you clearly over this fucking wrestling business, eh, you fucking broad. No, imagine.
Yeah, Rollins needs to teach some damn sportsmanship.
Nah, that checks out. That absolutely checks out with the how I view Seth Rollins' mental state. But that's the first thing he taught her, actually. The Workhorse, we got a video package recapping the JD Drake injury and beef. So I guess this is still a thing. Spanish Announce Project took on the Infantry. Sorry, my brain just took over there. I couldn't, but you know, I couldn't help it. The SAP took on the Infantry, though. A little snug. A little bit of stiffness here, you know what I mean? I like to see that out of the Infantry, you know? Not in a bad way. They weren't, like, stiffing them, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, yeah. They got a little bit of time here. They sold ball for our boys, you know what I mean? This is some good shit. We didn't see this. Infantry probably still aren't going to get anything out of it, but hey, it's the thought that matters. You know what I mean? The idea that the Infantry might actually win something, Charlie, my God.
Yeah.
It might happen. It could. This year.
My God.
They might win a championship. It's still possible, but I don't think it's going to happen. You know what would be awesome, though? We still got one more pay-per-view for Ring of Honor this year. Throw it on them on there. Anyway. But are they going to beat Dustin and Sammy? How crazy is that? We fucking pulled Sammy out of the fucking nether realm instead of putting it on the Infantry. That's insane. Anyway, Anthony Ogogo annihilated a young man's soul before the masses, and you all are laughing. He killed a man, and you're laughing. Brian Cage. Has a pretty cool little Wolverine gimmick here. I like that. We're going Dion Russman. Wild submission to win with. Why the fuck not? You know what I mean? But yeah, I like this gear here. You know, he is obviously, you know, I mean, shit, he could play Wolverine. He certainly could play like comic accurate Wolverine. Anyway, I'm going to get my ass kicked by Ryan Cage for that one. But, you know, that's all right. It's a worth it.
He'd appreciate it.
No, he would. He's comic accurate.
Anyway, he'd get it.
He'd be like, nah, I hate you for it, but I respect it, you know? Anyway, we also need to get Brian Cage versus Danhausen in a Deadpool versus Wolverine match immediately, you know? Because that would just make... And, yeah. Shit, are we at the fucking main event already? Holy shit, yeah. It's because of the STP. We're backstage and they said they want some fucking gold, baby. This is where the baddest rumble. Anyway, so yeah, Ring of Honor, where the baddest rumble. Okay, hey. I'm down. STB to get some gold. Give me Shane Taylor with some championship. Make Shane Taylor. Do you have the balls to make Shane Taylor your world champion? Probably not. But, you know, but I mean, hey, we got one champion in STB right now. So Dark Order and Dustin Rhodes took on Dustin Rhodes and Sammy Guevara. Dark Order and Dustin Rhodes will be a fucking fucked ass tag team. And Sammy Guevara and him retained their championships. Well, I should say they really retained. They kept the shitters from cheating the clock, basically, because they were like, haha, we're just going to stand out here because it's the fucking Eliminator match. Gimmick. And I was just like, okay, fine. So they ran after them. But the best part of this match, Charlie, by far, was when Dustin Rhodes hit the fucking spin-a-rooney. I fucking lost my shit, dude. Oh, my God. I was like, this is the great. I don't care if this match with the drizzling shits for the rest of it. This is the greatest match of all time. Yeah, dude. Silver was running the distraction. They won less. The significant thing was this was less than 10 minutes because it didn't go to the time limit. There wasn't like any, you know, tease of that. So it wasn't even close, obviously. And then the thing I was clearly not expecting to happen at the end of this match, Charlotte, fucking Cage of Agony attack.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Why not?
I mean look, you might as well pop him into some fucking, get him, maybe the pay-per-view, maybe, or yeah, no, just maybe. Get a fun TV angle going that maybe you could have some fun with.
I mean, look, Cage of Agony are imposing enough that they can definitely pull it off. I just wasn't expecting that. I feel like so I was so overbooked to me. I was like, what? Okay, you know? Like, to me, in my head, I would have just shot a backstage right after this or something like that, you know what I mean? Or something with them challenging. I don't know. You know what? Fine. Actually, I changed my mind. They did the right thing here. It just, I was very caught off guard. I was not expecting Cage of Agony to be involved in this.
Yeah. Fun go-home angle, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%. That was the end of our show. That was our main event of a Ring of Con this week. So that'll take us over to Dynamite.
Perfect. Dynamite episode 259. We opened up with Jon Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli, and Marina Shafir entering the building. I kind of like this little opening thing they're doing. And we see Darby Allin skateboarding in. And that's kind of a... still no intro, still none of that, but we've kind of gotten rid of that for this. So, you know,
am I supposed to believe this man skateboarded from the last city?
Goddamn right. This is Darby Allin. I would believe Darby Allin hitchhiked his way. I could buy it. And we jump straight into Orange Cassidy with Kyle O'Reilly and Mark Briscoe taking on and defeating Chris Jericho with his Learning Tree compadres. This match opens up and they're slugging it out, all six of them.
Why? In the Learning Tree.
Cassidy, Jericho remain in the ring. The others are brawling out. Cassidy hits a springboard twisting senton. Briscoe hits a dive. Jericho teases a dive, but instead, hi guys, waves to the crowd.
Now here's my question for you. Could Jericho hit that dive?
Yeah, I think he could.
I think he probably could. I think he might buck it up. You know what I mean? Because we've seen him fuck a blind salts, right? The last couple of years, it'd be. But I think he could easily, you know, he's not as nimble as he used to be, right? Type beat. But I do think he would nail it if he tried. If he actually wanted to do it. And I think what he'll do, if he's smart, is keep teasing it and keep teasing it. And then just hit him. You know what I mean? Just say, fuck it. At like 50. You know what I mean? And that would be
at
awesome.
One point, Jericho counters a Cassidy Hurricanrana off the top ropes into a wall of Jericho. Really fucking good. Cassidy cradles out. Jericho hits a... he blocks a tilt roll DDT and transitions it into a power slam. So I'm like, these guys came to play. This is not like a throwaway match.
There's a price to pay? Time for you to get down on your knees?
I had to, you know, sit up a little bit, lock in. Cassidy floats over the corner. Jericho sends him into the floor. Really good stuff. There was a double hacks handle from the top, which barely painted Cassidy, kind of got him alive a little bit. Stun Dog Millionaire, Michinoku Driver, Jericho fucking gets backdropped outside the ring. Total slugfest, you name it. And O'Reilly kind of, Big Bill comes in, tries to,
he hits a big boot.
O'Reilly returns, fights him off. Cassidy gets an inside cradle for two. Jericho hits a Death Valley Driver. Cassidy sneaks it into a desperation DDT that was just beautiful. He hits the round the world DDT going up top for another variation. It was a two count. So we're pretty much at the end here. Orange punch. He goes for the orange punch, gets countered into a code breaker. He dodges the Judas effect, hits the beach break. Jericho kicks out. Brian Keith ran down. Mark Briscoe made the save. Jericho had some change in his hand. Cassidy knocked it free, grabbed it, orange punch, knocked him the fuck out. Orange Cassidy wins. This match was awesome. I thought Jericho's matches in 2024 have not been anything utterly special.
They haven't been as bad as people are making them out to be either, though, I feel
They're not as bad, but they haven't been special. And the one I always point to is the Suzuki match a couple months back was just a fucking shit show for what it should have been.
Yeah.
And there's a couple examples.
Dude, fucking Suzuki hasn't been back since then. That's how bad that was. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I didn't like any of the... none of the hook matches really stood out either. But this match in particular, it went about 20 minutes. Duke, I thought this match was fucking great. And I... proper winner. Orange Cassidy wins. Because I was worried. We've talked about many times on this show how protected Orange Cassidy is. And a win over him should propel you to the fucking main event, at least propel you instantly to a title.
I feel like that Orange Cassidy, especially for how long he was international champion for, right? I feel like he's been teetering on the edge of a world title shot for a long time, like an earned world title shot. I feel like if Bryan Danielson loses the title, I think that it would be a very, very smart first match to put Orange Cassidy on a Dynamite for the world title.
everyone would buy it. Now, his wins are fucking, he stacked up wins.
Because I don't think he needs a pay-per-view title shot. I don't think we're there yet. Maybe down the line. But I think you get him into the world title scene. You make it seem like he's really, really close to winning it, but just quite not there. You know what I mean? And then you use that to, you know, jump off. Because beating Orange Cassidy, especially on the run that he's on right now, would be huge for a title reign, I feel like. I feel like it's one of the few that you could actually put on a champion, and that beating them will actually matter, you know? Because there's a chance that even with just winning the championship, that someone could, like, Orange Cassidy could win it, you know, with how he is.
And absolutely. I was really excited opening the show. And, you know, after the match, I was like, man, I wonder what people are saying. You know, like, oh, Jericho's kind of back on track. I was watching Dynamite Live, opened up, you know, the good old Twitter, and it's just people
is shitting all over the match. I thought this match was going to suck when I first heard, when I first went on Twitter.
They were tweeting stuff like, God, just skip the first 30 minutes of Dynamite. Don't waste your time. Like, big popular accounts that I actually do respect. Like, you know, they bring a good criticism to AEW, and they also, they're actual fans of the product. So I like following that. I like following people that are fans of something. This, in my opinion, I mean, this, they were calling, like, I saw some fucking insane takes about how this is, like, so bad. And, like, I know Jericho's not everyone's cup of tea, but dude.
No, I think a lot of people have just settled into this idea that he's never going to have another good match and that he just needs to retire. And they just don't want him to wrestle anymore.
They did not care that he was in the match, which is fine. So they were kind of watching the match, most likely on their phone, you know, doing their own thing, having fun.
I got to be honest with you. I was doing that. I was like, I was playing Starfield while watching this match, and I didn't miss much because I would still pause the game every so often because it would catch my attention. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like one of those things where, like, there will be wrestling shows. I'll give you an example. Most Rampages, I don't really look up from my screen. You know what I mean? I'll be honest. You know what I mean? Like, just because being honest, you know, but most of the time during Dynamite, especially during like backstage segments where you a lot of that is visual, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, obviously a lot of wrestling matches are too, but I have a pretty good sense of what's going on in a wrestling match based on the commentary and the sound at this point. You know what I mean? Like, which is something I did not realize I had until recently, Charlie. Like, I can listen to a wrestling match and get a decent idea of what's going on, rewatching and be like, oh, yeah, I knew what was going on there. You know what I mean? But anyway, but I don't think honestly, this match wasn't like, I'm so tuned out. Like, I tuned out at first thinking similarly to how everybody else did going into it. And like, I could tell by the vibes of the crowd alone should tell you this match was not bad. Like,
100%. I think a lot of people tuned out and never gave it a chance and never tuned back in. And I think it's just unfortunate that if you're going to do that, don't go and piss all over the match, man. Just like, ignore it. You don't have to talk about it.
Right, like,
you can
just
ignore it.
I'll keep it a buck with everyone. I wrote like a couple of sentences in my notes. Normally, for a match like this, I would write like a paragraph or two, like, and I just didn't because this one just wasn't like, I'm not gonna shit on it, but it wasn't as I'm not gonna sit here and praise it as much as you, but I'm not gonna sit here and agree with the other people that said this was a bad match because it wasn't. It was a good match.
No, if you were social media when this match came out, you would think it was the worst fucking match you've heard of this year, and I couldn't believe it. Sure, maybe it went a couple minutes too long, but at the same time, I don't think they wasted the time. There was a lot of conglomeration. There was a lot of learning tree. They took the time with it. I don't know, but
yeah, I don't know.
Anyways, that aside, I just had to mention that because I was a little sad by that because I was like, man, Orange just really went out and put on a show, and you know, all good. We had footage of the Combat Club last week. Pac asking where Uter has been since All Out. Next week, they have a title defense, so it's time to come to work. Claudio said he's not mad, he's just disappointed. He thought he taught Yuta better. He told Yuta to do him a favor and show up next week to defend their titles. Moxley said he knows it's difficult, but Yuta made his own choice, either stay or leave. He has a responsibility for the greater good to look at himself in the mirror every morning. What kind of man does he want to be?
He has a choice to make about what kind of man they taught him to be. Heavy shit brutal. Moxley. People are saying Moxley's being so cryptic, and I don't understand what he's saying. I disagree. I think it's very clear what he means here. You know what I mean? He's asking Wheeler to betray Brian. That is what he is asking him to do. And we got Wheeler's response to that.
He wants the throne.
He wants the crown.
Marvez caught up with Yuta. He's about to leave the arena. Thanked him for stopping, asking his thoughts on the, you know, what conspired. He's conflicted. He's worked his whole career to be a champion. A stage guy ran up, handed Yuta his Trio's title that he forgot in the back, said his head's been all over the place. If those guys want a favor the next week, he'll kick who's ever asked necessary. So, yeah.
So either Wheeler is going to betray them, which I think is likely, or Wheeler is going to join them. And I think that if that happens, that could be pretty crazy, you know?
Wow, to the first order. He'll bend the knee. Hook defeats JD Inc., but it looked like Joink. Strong and was on commentary. It's pretty fun here. Marvez backstage will find out Private Party will be the ones to get the Trios title match next week following getting attacked by the BCC. Cassidy said they'll find a partner, but if Moxley wants to look for a fight, no further. We had a Renee segment with the Patriarchy and Christian Cage and just kind of going over the stuff, talking about, you know, he's the next world champion. And then Kip Sabian is trying to approach, and they kind of get this like off footage a little bit. This was kind of a neat little touch here where it's like the way they're shooting it, it feels like something we're not supposed to see. And I was kind of like, when, you know, you can mix up, it's a fucking camera. You can mix it up and do whatever you want. Right. And this is kind of a neat little touch here. Neat little flavor, if you will. He doesn't care if his father's dead. If he keeps bothering Nick, he'll put him in the ground next to him.
I'm telling you, dude, if they actually pull the trigger on this feud the way they've been setting it up, it could be a blood feud between Nick Wayne and Kip Sabian, and I would be there for it on a million percent.
Benefit both of their careers so much. I want to know more about why is Kip so obsessed with him. I want to get more of this, you know?
But yeah, no, Kip has got something else going on with him, too, and that'll play into his, like, we had the sort of him with the fucking thing on his head, the bag on his head, right? And that never really went anywhere. So maybe he's still crazy, but he just never resolved that. He just stopped wearing the bag because it wasn't getting him anywhere. You know what I mean? Just been like that, like.
Yeah. We had Queen Aminata and Yuka Sakazaki defeat AEW Women's Champion Mariah May and Serena Deeb via disqualification. So they kept the interaction between Yuka and Mariah to a pretty minimum. And this was a solid match, you know. We just had some fun dragon screws by Yuka. I thought Queen Aminata looked really good with her snap drop kicks, you name it. Serena Deeb, of course, getting mixing in there, trapping. She's trapping legs. She's hitting dragon screws through ropes, you name it. Pretty good stuff. Pretty good stuff. Mariah May blindsided Yuka with the women's title for the DQ. I thought that was a really nice touch. May whips Yuka with the title continuously after the match. Kissed her on the cheek, holds the title high. There's a video package of Mina Shirakawa. She hasn't heard from Mariah in months. She's changed, but she still misses her. They've had so many good times together, they can have more. Mariah has a place in her heart. She tells AEW fans to get ready, because Mina is coming. Little preview package of Brian Danielson and Nigel. Beautiful stuff. And, you know, everyone's kind of giving their thoughts on it. They go a lot more into this on Collision. It's a lot better. So this is pretty brief. Nigel, let's point this out. Nigel has been sharing videos on social media that are fucking incredible, and they feature stuff from his documentary and all that. And I think there's enough information out there where if you've never heard of this feud ever in the past 2 weeks, you probably could have gotten yourself excited for this. So I think that,
dude, I think they've gotten it there just on TV. I think
I agree
that they haven't are fucking losing their minds. Like, everything doesn't have to be perfect in wrestling.
No, when you get these highlights like this, remember, I always point to the Jay White and Jay Lethal one. I had no idea they had that kind of history. And they set it up in a couple video packages. Not even. There was like two. One backstage interview and one little package before the match. And I was like, okay, now I know where this match's purpose is. I got to imagine people are feeling that with Nigel. And people are probably excited to see Nigel wrestle if they've never seen it before. You know?
Yeah, because the only people that saw it in the last 10 years were people that watched All Ins. Like, and they've been very, very diligent to not show that footage on AEW hardly at all. So, you know, like, yeah.
John Moxley and his crew hit the ring. Private Party try to attack. Before they get there, it doesn't go well. They get choked out. There's brutal choke breakers on Quinn.
His pretty torn limb from
Moxley sends Cassidy into the steps. Shafir puts the boots in him. Moxley held Cassidy. Shafir fires off kicks. Commander appears, tries to hit a dive, but Claudio fucking executes him. Marina Shafir slams Alex Abrahantes, takes the microwave background. Oh, shit. Takes the microphone from his hand. Commander is launched into the second row by Claudio. Moxley had a toolbox, brought out a hammer, saying that he could end Private Party's careers after pulling what they just did. Very important here. They've been here since the beginning, but are in the same spot they were 5 years ago. Moxley's going to give them what they've been missing. Some friction. An obstacle to take to overcome. Consider this a gift. Moxley also mentioned how he was once in their spot. Smashes Cassidy's hand with a hammer. Gets the you sick fuck chance. Okay. Here's what I gotta say. Private Party, they're not getting the Trios title match at Grand Slam. That's fine. This is the best thing that could have happened to them. Because now they're involved heavily in a storyline with the top act in the company. But for being honest, John Moxley's the main feature right now. He's the one taking over the show, right? Swerve's gone. Hangman's AFK. Danielson's gone, right?
Swerve might be dead.
So Moxley is, as of TV, television right now, is your top act. Getting Private Party involved like this, Moxley mentioning to them, this was deliberately done. Because they know what they have in Private Party. They need to get the ball rolling with them. These words were not mixed. I'm very curious 4 months from now where we see Private Party. And if it's on the trajectory going up, say they even have some gold 4 months from now, you can pinpoint this exact moment on Dynamite as the time that the fucking, what's the thing? Something shifted. I don't know. There's a good term there. I can't think of what it is, but I thought this segment was incredible. And even more so, Darby Allin came out and this was some fun stuff here with Allin and a skateboard.
To steal a term from Jay White, you could say this moment could be the catalyst for it.
It could. And if three, four months from now, Private Party are holding some gold, go ahead. Point to this as the moment that started. So, yeah, I thought this was another phenomenal Moxley segment, just to continue what we've been saying in the past few weeks. I don't think this is leading to Shane McMahon. I hope this isn't leading to Shane McMahon, but I'm excited to see where it goes. Yeah, what'd you think of
this? What's leading to Shane McMahon? And it's obviously they're not working for Tony Khan. Who would you want to be, like, the new authority figure that's, like, making a power play? Because honestly,
I want it to be Moxley. I want it to be all Moxley.
Like, he's
he learned from Regal. He's learned from Danielson. He knows what has to be done to be at the top of the fucking card. And he's bringing his friends with him. Claudio, Marina, his new buddy, Pac. And he's hopefully bringing his protege, Wheeler, with him. Like, to me, this is a point for Moxley to get through.
On his own, as long as they don't fuck up that angle, you know, like, that could work out for him anyway, you know what I mean? He could be off on his own actually doing something, potentially.
Who, Wheeler?
But, yeah, like, if you break him off in a good way, like, you'd have to have him
too early to break him off.
Well, yeah,
I think Wheeler really
sucks. You did a dance with him for a bit, and you see where he's at. But, I mean, I don't want to see him do this confused Wheeler gimmick for, like, the next 6 months. I feel like that'll be really stupid.
No, he needs to come to his own. It can be next week. I can do this for, like, a couple weeks.
Yeah.
But hopefully Grand Slam, you know, today, you know, whenever the fuck you guys listen to this, if Grand Slam's in a couple hours, right? Hopefully tonight, Wheeler can knock this out and we can
get the team back. Shit, that is tomorrow, huh? Fuck, tomorrow's going to be a fun night. We can come home, fucking Grand Slam kicks off, and we get fucking Agatha. Crazy.
Agatha all along. Speaking of that, ESC Fantasy, if you guys are interested.
We're fucking cooking. We also got Penguin cooking. Jack Perry could be in the Penguin.
100%. Driving the scapegoat bus. Cool stuff. Shea takes on and defeats the Beast Mortos. Very strong win on a Ricochet. This match was really good. Ricochet is akin to our Mandalorian storyline of each week's a new battle that he's got to knock down. And now
we're in season one of the Mandalorian. So by season two, he's going to meet Will Ospreay as like the savior of humanity. Who's the Luke Skywalker of AEW who would save Ricochet from fucking
Danielson?
It really is.
It might be Kenny Omega. Hold on.
Oh my god, Will Ospreay is turning heel and he's beating the shit out of him with Kyle and fucking a returning Mark Davis and all of a sudden, you know.
Just really fun match. Ricochet has been a fucking joy on AEW. And you get the snap crucifix slam, axe kick, vertigo for the win. Just a fun match. The crowd loved it. Beast Mortos is the guy.
Guy's been wanting to innovate this type of match since the Black and Gold NXT days, and that's been years ago now. That's like a fucking half decade ago now, it feels like, especially when he was doing it. So, and he spent like a fucking half of a decade nearly on the main roster not being able to do this. And you put him against these kinds of opponents now, it's going to be magic. All you have to do, and this is the brilliant thing, because we did go on to eventually set up the match, right? So we are getting that match on Grand Slam, right? But
the anniversary show.
The anniversary show. You're correct. Not that Grand Slam. And I know people are like, oh my god, Tony can't fucking hold his fucking shit in. He just has to fucking do the match. I don't care personally about that. Like, I'll be honest with you.
They've never done that in AEW. You wrestle in AEW.
100%. There's never been a fucking. We don't want to have this match on TV because. What should be saved for a pay-per-view? That's literally not how... For the first 2 years we reviewed this, AEW had, like, fucking less than 10 pay-per-views a year. You know what I mean? So, like, we couldn't rely on that for the fucking way things were booked. So now AEW fans just don't... That's not what AEW fans need in their booking. You know what I mean? We want TV feuds that don't, like, pay off and mean something. You know, I can't imagine that ever happens really on WWE. You know what I mean? Like an actual television feud that is meaningful. I don't
only
know.
Only in the times when there's no pay-per-views in the foreseeable future, which it seems to be kind of.
That might be the reason why they're going to that model, by the way, because they realize when there's a little bit of a gap there that there's actually opportunity for your show to grow. You know what I mean? Maybe. Yeah. I'm not sure if AEW does in that time, but I'm sure we build up people that keep coming back for the same stuff. You know what I mean?
But it's one of those things too, and it's not like it's just any out of the ordinary dynamite in fucking, you know, Pawtucket, South Dakota. It's the anniversary show where they're doing this. So
yeah, it's literally, you know, the fifth anniversary of AEW, essentially. You know what I mean?
Tony Khan will have fucking 25 special dynamites.
These guys could get an hour.
Which I'm thankful for.
These guys could get 30, 40 minutes on this show.
Yeah, let them cook, man.
I don't know if they'll get 40, but they can get like give them 20 to 30 minutes and they will fucking make a fucking masterpiece. And it'll probably 100%. Be Dave Meltzer's match of the year. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like.
Yeah, we got a video package out of Hangman Page. Shit, he had to do what he had to do because of Swerve. Justice delayed is justice denied. He will have what he wants, and we'll hear from him next. We get highlights from Collision last week showing FTR and the Grizzled Young Vets with the Outrunners making the save. Pretty cool. Hangman Adam Page is interviewed by Shivani in the ring. Okay, this went way too long for me. I'll be honest, this was the only segment I truly felt like, what the fuck happened? Okay, so I'm going to trim it down in his words. He had to do what he had to do. People cheered for Swerve. He didn't like it. That ended up changing his fate because, you know, if they're cheering for him after what he did to me, fuck these people. Essentially, right, is kind of where this went. Jeff Jarrett comes out. A Page dips. They start going back and forth. Jay Lethal, Satnam Singh are out, holding Jarrett back. Jarrett grabs a mic, said he'd be damned if he's allowed Page to put his finger on Shoni Shivani. Entire dressing room wants to beat the hell out of Paige. I love that line. And Jarrett is front of the line. And they set up a match at Grand Slam. This was a lumberjack strap match. So something AEW is trying is a new match. So Renee is backstage with Ricochet. They're immediately interrupted by Will Ospreay.
Just to clarify, I'll say lumberjack matches generally don't work for me. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, who knows? It's Hangman. With his where he's at right now and how much he's cooking.
I just imagine it'll be a bunch of people whipping Jeff Jarrett, you know, I would think. You know what I mean? But I don't know.
I don't know. If it's going to be a shit show, it might be fun. I'll guarantee it's going to be fun. So, yeah. Will Ospreay's there. He says there's always heat between them, but apologizes for last week. Ricochet accepts this, but says he's doing what Ospreay said. He's getting his wins up. Everyone is coming after Ricochet more than he's worried about them. They're more worried about Ricochet than Ospreay, which isn't the case for him. Who said he got his match via Tony Khan October 2nd, the 5-year anniversary?
Bro said you wanted me to get wins, so I went backstage and politicked.
Yeah, he got his wins, and then he politicked a little bit. You got to do what you got to do. He gets his international title match against Ospreay, who might be on another level, but Ricochet's out of this world. He said he'll see him real soon, Lil Bro. Okay, I love Lil Bro and Ospreay. That's awesome.
Well, the funny thing is, I didn't realize this. I think he is actually older than Ospreay, so that does actually, that checks out. You know what I mean?
He Lil Bro'd him. I mean, look, this match, it changed the way...
I think he was more charismatic in this segment than his entire main roster run on WWE.
Yeah, Ricochet, I think, was very clear. He's just never got certain opportunities. Just like Mustafa Ali, he never got certain opportunities. And the minute he flipped, he's on his own, right? And in AEW, you technically are on your own. I mean, you're coming up with these promos. The minute he's on his own, you can kind of see a little bit more develop because... All of these wrestlers, there's very few exceptions. They're all super creative minds.
To be honest with you, from what it sounds like, from what I was listening to that MXM interview that I've been referenced a couple times throughout this that I listened to last night, it sounds like the AEW creative process is basically like a writer's room. And you can use a whatever percentage of it you want. You can be your entire writer's room yourself, or you can use the resources. Tony Khan's available to you. Will Washington's available to you. Tons of the other wrestlers backstage that work as agents are available to you. The entire production staff is available to you. You know what I mean? You can really get, but that means you then have to go in and actually make those things happen for you, or your shit's just going to come off like everybody else's and kind of like maybe a little dull because it looks a little bit, you know, like those like three kinds of video segments we get backstage that people just don't seem to want to innovate with, you know what I mean? Which I'm sure if they talk to people, they could, you know what I mean? But it's just one of those things that they're like, well, just point a camera at me. I'll fucking talk for a few minutes, you know, like whatever, you know, but like, anyway.
Yeah. All right. We jumped into Rampage now, which is. again, forgettable, unfortunately. Excalibur, Ian Riccaboni, Matt Menard on commentary. Good trio. Mark Briscoe takes on and defeats Brian Keith in a pretty good match. Non-title. Keith, you know.
Why does he not win? That's what I'm confused by. He's supposed to be like the badass of the two of them, which is supposed to be funny because Big Bill's obviously the bigger guy. But he should be winning the matches then, like unless they're just saying, oh, no.
Mark Briscoe, you know, Mark Briscoe's a pretty protected wrestler.
Why can't Brian Keith get a world title shot? What is so fucking wrong with that? Like,
it would make sense. And look, it would tie in AEW into ROH a little more. It would probably help certain things.
It's something Jericho would want. He was the Ocho. He was a world champion in Ring of Honor. Like, I don't know, man. Whatever. Maybe they're saving it for after.
Pretty okay to solid matches where I'd rank this. Nothing spectacular. If you missed it, you don't need to go back and watch it. I can promise you that. Jericho ran in and attacked Briscoe with a bat after. Cassidy, Big Bill, and O'Reilly ran in. Big Bill dominating. So I think they're setting up a Grand Slam match. I actually don't know if that's official, but we'll know in a couple minutes. Yuta gets a quick win over the Butcher. Hammer and elbows. The cattle mutilation. Got the submission. Held on hold until well after the bell and almost attacked the ref after the match. I thought this was a really good sign playing into his new kind of torn character that he's got. The MXM Collection have stolen Max Caster's Best Wrestler Alive jacket and they're giving it a makeover. Fuck yeah.
That should be a fun feud, but to be honest, you know what I mean?
Hikaru Shida takes on and defeats Harley Cameron. And yeah, this was pretty solid.
Yep.
Not a crazy amount of time, but again, I think Harley Cameron does well in these spots, and it helps Shida. It's just a good, you know, good little match. Get him booked for the week. Saraya ends up hitting a Falcon Arrow. No, Shida hits a Falcon Arrow. My bad. After the match, Saraya challenges Jamie Hayter for a Grand Slam in a Saraya's Rules match, which Hayter accepts.
Blindly accepting a Saraya's Rules match is insane, but all right, you know, like
Saraya's Rules, you can't win. Wait, what?
No, that's literally, we'll talk about it on Collision. That's literally the rules. The only rule of this match is basically I win and you lose, and that's the rules, you know? So, yeah.
The Beast Mortals and Roderick Strong. Oh, yeah. Matt David and Mike Bennett defeat Joe Keys and Marcus Mathers. My new favorite tag team. Beast Mortals, again, on all three shows. Gotta love it. Strong hits. Okay. Do you want to talk about a fucking tag team that would suck to wrestle? These two guys, because they're going to beat the shit out of you.
And they're not even going to, they're just going to laugh at you afterward. Be like,
yeah. They'll put a neck brace on you, slap you over the head, and call it a night.
And then you're going to get, but then Taven's going to grab you and kick you in the, and they hold you while fucking Bennett kicks you in the nuts and pile drives you. Like,
driver! Deanna Purrazzo has some wine and finds a friend in Taya Valkyrie. Nick Wayne.
I think Taya Valkyrie would be everybody's friend. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. And we read that thing about Deanna maybe looking for a faction.
So, yeah, I could see this. This is a good startup. That's where she's going with this. This is a good start.
Yeah, let's
and hey, maybe they can get Johnny TV involved. I don't know if he's hurt or if he's what the deal is with him right now because we haven't seen him in a bit. But like, if he's available, like, because I know he landed on his head a while ago, right? So maybe he's not okay. But you know, if he's good, it'd be cool for them to have like a male in the faction, not because they need it, but like because it'd be cool for a female-led faction to have a random dude in it. Like most male-led factions have a random female in them. It would be cool to reverse that for once. You know what I mean? See, every now and then it sounds like I'm being sexist, but I'm actually being the opposite, you know? Anyway, yeah.
Yeah. And Nick Wayne pinned Rocky Romero in the four-way match that included Leo Rush and Kip Sabian. You know, fun little match. This was Rush hit a frog splash on Romero and caught a cutter from Nick Wayne. Sabian went for the burning hammer on Wayne. Wayne made the ropes. Sabian hit Romero with a burning hammer. Wayne dumped Sabian on the floor. Then Wayne covered Romero to get the victory, so... Yeah, we'll see where that plays up. Pretty forgettable rampage. But, you know, the thing I'm most excited about is seeing what happens with this Deanna Purrazzo stuff. That being said, let's jump into AEW Collision episode 63 from Springfield, Massachusetts. And then we'll get into our Grand Slam
predictions. Springfield, Mass. Hell yeah. We already talked about the opening match with the Kingdom and Texas boys, you know. We cut the backstage. Hologram and the conglomeration are interrupted by the premier athletes who are like, yo, we're gonna do some shit. And then fucking Mark Briscoe starts tweaking and says fucking that. What the fuck did he call them? Oh, he called Mark Sterling a shenanigator, which, I mean, hey, whatever. You know, and so he says, we're gonna need a Zookarnator. So they need Rocky Romero to even the odds. And I thought this meant that Rocky was going to be in the match, Charlie. No, he was just the manager. Okay. Sure. I figured that out as the match was kicking off. I was like, wait, Rocky didn't get announced. What's going on here? He was literally just there to make sure Mark didn't do anything, which is, I mean, they do that sometimes. It was just a weird way they drew attention to it. Anyway, I forget what the word of the day is. I don't remember. I didn't write it down. My bad. Fumbled the bag. It was something funny. Anyway, and then we cut to another segment backstage where Evil Uno is kind of like being like, yo, I'm Evil Uno. What's up? And then fucking Darby Allin walks up and is like, bro, do you even understand what's fucking happening right now? There's a war coming. Are you ready for what that's going to be like? I don't think you are. I think you're just going to get fucking swept up in and die, basically. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And Evil Uno is not prepared for Darby to come into this segment with that energy because he did not have shit to say. You know what I mean? Like, this made me feel really bad for Evil Uno because I feel bad for him in moments like this where I feel like I want him to say something and he just, I think he doesn't know what to say. You know what I mean? Like, or maybe he just was letting Darby cook. I don't know. But it felt to me like if I was Uno in this segment, I would want to respond to something he said. You know what I mean? Like, unless that was just the plan. But it certainly didn't translate into the match later. So I just don't know. You know, like, I don't know, man. It was a good segment, though. It just was very, it made it very apparent to me, I think, that even, I don't know, maybe I'm reading into it too much, you know what I mean? But either way, Kyle O'Reilly, Mark Briscoe, hologram with Rocky Romero at ringside, took on the premier athletes, Tony Nese, Josh Woods, Arya Daivari. Some standard conglomeration action here, you know, really good stuff. Really good energy in this one, I thought. And Mark Briscoe. Ended up picking up a pin here. So a couple of fucking pinfall victories for Mark Briscoe this week. God damn. Guy's just on a roll. Yeah. And hologram extends his win streak to 11-0 here. You know, that's more significant to me. I mean, yeah, obviously, you know, the premier athletes losing doesn't mean anything to anybody. You know what I mean? It's just they just exist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hologram losing obviously would not be a good thing. So him winning, that's more important to me here. Yeah. Anyway. NXM, we're backstage. And they said they were going to show off the new MaxCaster makeover jacket. And they said, zip it down, whip it out. You know, they wanted to zip it down, whip it out right now. And they said they were going to unveil it at the Grand Slam Fashion Week on Collision Grand Slam. So, sure. I mean, why not? You know what I mean? Sure, that's a good segment to sell based on that. I mean, here's the thing. Like, do I hate segments that are just segments set to set up a segment later down the line? No, not really, because, I mean, you have to have those at some point, obviously, otherwise you're never going to facilitate the things that are going to happen in the future, right? But would I have preferred them to actually have done something here? It doesn't really matter. He'd be at TV time, but, I mean, you would have given them another set of TV time at some point anyway if you wanted to do this. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, what are you...
Yeah.
I can't see you complaining about this being a waste, but it also is not... I mean, nothing really technically happens. All right. Mariah May took on Lady Frost. She blew a kiss to Nigel, which nearly took him out. He almost didn't make it to Wembley. Almost didn't make it to Grand Slam, sure, but purely because he almost got kissed off the stage, you know? So that is, you know, we watch the fucking aim there, Mariah, you know? But, yeah. God, if that happened to Shivani, he might actually die, you know? But, yeah, it's a pretty quick win. And then they led this into a segment where they recap the story with Yuka so far. So, yeah. Honestly, as I'm recapping this collision, it's way more boring than I was remembering. It didn't feel this boring at the time, but it is kind of a fucking bit of a nothing show, isn't it? Like,
yeah, bookended very well, but the stuff in the middle was kind of okay.
This next thing was pretty good. Willow speaks for the first time since she, you know, was in the match where she was defeated by Chris Statlander in the, what kind of match was it again? It was like a street fight, right?
Yeah.
I can't remember what the specific, they had a special name. It was a street fight, though. It was a good street fight, too. It was one of the best. What you said, one of the best street fights in AEW.
Brawl out.
Yeah, it was our brawl out for the year, you know what I mean? Our brawl in, you know what I mean? That was it all out, wasn't it? Anyway, whatever the fucking pay-per-view was, I don't remember. We had 7 pay-per-views in 3 days in this fucking goddamn shit, so I can't remember anything. I've lost all sense of reality. I'm going to go into cryogenesis at this point, you know? Anyway, but yeah, so but the thing that was funny I thought in this was Willow said her back was hoitin'. It was hoitin'. She got some hoitin'. Sorry, she's got some New Yorker in there. She really does. You know, it's funny. Willow doesn't sound like a New Yorker most of the time. Like Eddie Kingston sounds like fucking New Yorker. You know what I mean? But Willow doesn't always. But every now and then it slips out. You know what I mean? Maybe she was leaning into it on purpose, but, you know, she said she's going to be rooting for Yuka. She said she'd have Yuka's back, but, like, she wouldn't actually have it in person because of being hurt. And then Deonna Purrazzo and Taya offer to be the protection instead, which, again, I don't know. I don't know if it was just the way I was feeling about wrestling by this point in the week, but I just felt like this felt like a little bit out of nowhere, you know? Like, I mean, yeah, building the faction. I just don't know how Yuka would play into that, really, you know what I mean? Like, so I had to see how Deonna and Taya are going to play that. But my guess is that's just going to be a Yuka feud with somebody. Maybe it's going to be those two. Don't know. We'll have to see where that goes. MXM get responded to by Max Caster. He actually, like, he did, like, a, you know, without the music rap here that I thought was some pretty good stuff. And then Anthony Bowens, the little bookend on it, you know, it's saying some nice stuff. And Daddy Ass was also there. He existed. Darby and John Moxley video package. Just fucking listening to this package, just evil John Moxley is so goddamn cool. I'm so glad we have evil Moxley back, bro. What a guy. You know, can you imagine thinking this guy, how you're going to make this guy a bad guy? You're going to put him in a gas mask and make him get inoculations.
His city stinks.
That, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. that's what you thought this guy was, you know?
This city
unbelievable, breaks. You know what I mean? He might be the greatest heel this company's ever had. And we have MJF, and we also have Christian Cage. And he may eclipse them both, you know? Like, he may have found a way to do it. Darby Allin versus Evil Uno. And I want to know your thoughts on this match, Charlie. Because going into this match, you were like, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah.
I'm curious what your thoughts were on this match. So go ahead and tell me that. But before that, I will just say there were some Dark Order shenanigans afoot. I'm going to go ahead and say that I guess this is technically a tune-up for Darby. They did on this show with the segment earlier and some other stuff try to make this feel like a bigger deal. So how did it land for you?
Yeah, look, I mean, I don't know. It was it better than it looked on paper? I think so. I mean, that's the bar is not very high for that. Darby is, as always, probably the most consistent television wrestler, and you'll never see him take a night off, right? That's the whole thing with him. And I thought it was fine. I mean, I liked Uno just slapping him right at the beginning, right? And just little distractions here and there. Pile driver was pretty good, but yeah, I mean, it was just solid, right? I think I enjoyed the match after much more, but for what it was, I think it was fine. Cough and drop can always, help that out.
Yeah.
And it didn't go excessively long.
Yeah, I thought it was way shorter. I thought, given the fucking previous segment in the show, they were going to give this, like, 10 minutes at least, you know? Maybe they did, but, like, a little bit more, you know? Like, whatever.
It was, like, barely 5 minutes. It was very, very short.
Yeah. We had a recap of...
Definition of a sprint.
Literally. We had a recap of Tony Schiavone interviewing Hangman Adam Page and Jeff Jarrett getting involved. And we cut to backstage where Jeff Jarrett's calling out Hangman some more. This is where we get the lumberjack strap match thing. Karen Jarrett is very distressed by this, all this nonsense. Understandable. Queen Aminata took on Serena Deeb. This was almost my favorite this week, straight up. I thought about it and I was like, you know, I did actually like the bunkhouse more. But this is, I mean, I'll just go through what I wrote in my notes here. I really hope Aminata wins. She had some really good looking gear here, by the way. I really hope she wins sometime soon. Something big. She needs to win something. She's been on that trajectory since she got here, and I feel like she needs to culminate that in something. And I was thinking about it while I was sitting here watching this match. I was like, you know what? I know what it is. She needs to win the Owen next year. That'll put her on a similar trajectory to people like Willow at that stage in their careers. And I think that could be the thing that launches her into stardom. But if we can actually put a title on her before then, that would also be really cool. Oh, yeah. And then shout out to Tony Inoki inventing the Iron Octopus, you know? Shout outs, you know? We love some Inoki, you know? And we love some big, sweaty Japanese men, you know? But we do. There's a couple in this company, you know? We're about to watch them slap meat, you know? But yeah, some Titan Snug action here. There was a lot of that this week. I don't know if people were just pissed off this week, but they just came in just fucking slugging, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's the kind of stuff we love to see. Crap was cooking. I feel like all my fucking match reviews sound exactly the same now, you know? Like, maybe I need to think about that. You know, do they sound the same to you? I feel like they do to me, but whatever. I mean, there's only so many ways you can talk about these matches at this point. Like, I thought I was just a me thing, but literally the same words that the two of us used it also, it's literally how everybody talks about matches now. I don't know if that's just the way things are, but, like, I've just noticed that. And it's not like I'm not being influenced by them. That's just the way that I decided to do it. I don't know if that's just, I don't know. Anyway, maybe we are having an influence. We don't know. But
I mean, hey, look, we can talk about how Queen Aminata's headbutt to Serena Deeb here impacted the cerebral cortex and probably did some damage to her, you know?
Yeah.
We could take it to that level if we wanted, but the cosmic microwave background could be viewed from this match.
This is possible. You know, there was one moment that I do actually want to highlight that I did write down. There was this near fall. I don't remember what she did. It was like a knee strike or some sort of like some move. Anyway, it's a big power move. And they got a really close near fall. And
yeah,
Aminata's reaction to the near fall was very good.
Was it the German suplex into a sliding kick, maybe something like that?
It's something. It was some like combination. It was something she could have won the match with.
That's the thing about Queen Aminata, right? Her combinations. She has such a fucking like, I don't know, like big arsenal of fucking moves.
I think who it's similar to. It's like almost like.
It's like Daniel Garcia. It feels like, yeah, like honestly,
yeah, because she does
the technical side. Well, she could add that technical side. So maybe Daniel's a bad example, but yeah, I don't know. The way she fucking counters and hits all these different, you know. No,
but I think it's similar. I think she grapples in a way that feels very similar to like the technical wizards. And there are wrestlers that aren't technical wizards like that that are like that. I would almost put Seth Rollins in that category. I wouldn't say Seth Rollins is a technical. He's probably closer in line to like what the Young Bucks do, right? But he's also very technically sound if he wants to be. So, like, you know, it's – and I think Aminata could – I've seen Aminata do that, in fact, actually. She just doesn't always use it all the time. It's not her main style. She's more of a powerhouse, which, I mean, when you got fucking – when you're built like that, I mean, you might as well be a powerhouse. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's got a little Hangman Page in her.
That might be the comp, actually, yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of thinking, you know, she's really fucking strong, too, so.
Oh, yeah, and Hangman is, he looks like a fucking teacher, but he's actually really strong.
One of those things about Hangman is you never know what combinations he's going to fucking
throw. Well, the funny thing is, if Hangman put on, like, a fucking, like, you know, polo and some khakis, you know what I mean? Like, he would look like a fucking high school teacher still, just like a high school gym teacher, as opposed to a high school fucking whatever he was, you know what I mean? Like,
you're not my dad.
He probably taught gym, too, let's be honest, you know what I mean? Yeah, no, I don't know. So, yeah, that was a really good match. It ended up going the way of Serena, which kind of surprised me. Did that surprise you at all?
With Serena winning?
Yeah.
A little bit. She seems to be featured with, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't hurt to lose to Serena.
No, right? We talked about this. You don't have to win at every W all the time, but it just felt like this is one I felt like.
I would like to see her angry about this loss. And she wants to, you know, you can learn a thing or two wrestling someone like Serena Deeb.
100%, yeah. Yeah, I mean, fine. Yeah, I can't really complain about it. Not that I really was, but, you know. Yeah, Saraya backstage explains what a Saraya's rule match is. And essentially what that is it's rigged. It's a regular match for Jamie Hayter and it's an extreme rules match for Saraya. That's literally the rules. That's about the best I can explain it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's going to functionally work. You know, it's going to look goofy as fuck.
I mean, you're going to be... If the crowd can really get behind Jamie as a babyface, I think the crowd's going to help this match.
What's the end game here, right? Now the fucking babyface has to be the heel because now all the spots that would have been the heel spots are now babyface spots, like getting the ref distracted or something like that. Like, it's such a weird angle. I don't know what fucking Saraya was smoking when she came up with this, but I want some of it. That's for sure. You know? Yeah, I don't know. It's going to either be really, really cool or really stupid. That's the only way I could really put it, you know? It's either going to be awesome or it's going to be less than 10 minutes, you know? And I don't know.
Yeah.
It sucks. Can you believe this is what we're doing to bring Jamie Hayter back? Of all things, we're just throwing a fucking gimmick match that who knows if it's even going to fucking work. Like, so because here's what you could do, right? And this is what I would do. And maybe someone that listens, that's a part of the creative team hears this somehow, right? I would have her beat the shit out of her with kendo sticks and her partner and just have her do the ultimate mega super duper comeback a la Kofi in the fucking gauntlet match and on SmackDown forever ago, right? Just have her keep coming back against ridiculous odds and then win. And even though everything is against her, that's the only way this match works. If there's any monochrome of thought in their mind of putting Saraya over in this match because there's no reason why the other person should win.
There's no shot in hell.
So the only way you could book this match in a way that's gonna work is if you just beat the shit out of her and then have her come back. Which at that point, it's like, why not just make it an extreme rules match?
Yeah.
Because you could accomplish the same thing. It's just now you've just rigged the rules in Saraya's favor, which is like, why would you ever agree to that? You know,
I mean, so
if you're coming off injury and this is the match you're going to go into,
you're trying to get Saraya heel character really another level by, you know, trying to complicate the rules and have rig everything in her favor. Maybe because she doesn't in character trust herself to beat someone like Jamie Hayter, right? Whereas Jamie Hayter, she's just come back. She wants all the sauce. She doesn't give a fuck. Throw whatever you got to at me. You can tie an arm behind my back, I'll still beat your ass. You know? So, honestly, it's just a big dramatic event to get the babyface over.
I don't know.
Get a quick 1-2 win before you send her into a title. That's honestly what this feels like.
I hope so.
You know?
That would be good.
All right. Yeah. Sammy and Dustin backstage challenge. This is actually good. I'm excited by this. Sammy Guevara challenged Okada to an eliminator match at the Continental Championship. I'll go as far as to say, Charlie, because he wants to challenge him at the 5-year Dynamite anniversary. I'll go as far as to say, Charlie, I think he should win that match.
The eliminator match?
Or maybe just not lose it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Go the 10 minutes?
Dude.
But he can pin out. Let's be honest. If anybody out of like random people in the company could take a pin off of over Okada and it not really hurt Okada that much, it's probably Sammy, right? Like, I mean, Sammy's an established guy. Maybe not a main eventer, but let's be honest. We call Okada a main eventer because he was in Japan. That's not a main event title. Let's be honest, you know?
Yeah.
It'll be in a main event at some point. It'll probably main event every show that the Continental Classic is on, but, you know, it's just not. We want that title to be more important, but if we were being honest, International's probably considered above it in the actual hierarchy. You know what I mean? Like, because even though that's not how it's supposed to work, that's how it's been booked. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, not Okada's fault, you know? But I do actually kind of wish, because to be honest with you, why are we keep doing these eliminator matches where you're teasing a match that I'd want to see, but you're only going to do it for fucking 10 minutes so that you don't have the eliminator, because you don't want Okada to lose. Like, okay. Like, what? Why are you? Because I got to ask you this. Why are you even throwing an eliminator out there if you don't think there's a possibility that your champion's going to lose anyway? If they're not going to lose the championship, which you know they're going to do, but you don't have to do that just because they lose the eliminator. I think that maybe there's somebody that's super caught up backstage and the first person that really wins one of those eliminators needs to win a championship because of the momentum. But, like, I don't think it has to work that way every time.
We do need to see a surprise result in an eliminator match.
We've had them. They just haven't meant anything.
Like, but we need a legit, like, this would be a surprise. I want Sammy Guevara to pin this motherfucker.
That would be awesome.
Let's get a legit shock to the system.
And you know what? You can even turn that into a segment on the show. You can have the entire Elite run down and beat the shit out of them afterward. Yeah, for having
it
the
seems like too
to
often in these, they try and just do the time limit thing, and it's the gimmick, it's the cop-out. No. Let the champion lose. Let's get a fucking... Imagine Okada's face realizing he just lost to Guevara. People would lose their fucking... You would have tweets talking about how, oh my god, this is why Okada never should have went there. Like, it would be the greatest fucking 20 minutes on Twitter ever.
Dude, 100%. That's why I won it so badly. I started thinking about this shit while I was listening to Sammy, and I was like, dude, Sammy just sold me on that match right now. Just boom.
Give me what I want.
They probably won't, because no one has balls, but you know.
Pin him in 7 minutes.
Fucking, you know, yeah. You know.
Balls.
He's not even going to hit him with the Rainmaker. He's going to money clip him.
Yeah.
Not like this.
3 minutes of money clip. FT Runners and Hook took on the Grizzled Young Vets, Roosh and Beast Mortos and Roderick Strong, which, first of all, what a fucking match. You know,
all-star 10-man tag, including the Outrunners.
They're getting in there, bud. There's some all-stars now, bud. They got some Chief in action going on. There's some motherfucking boys, you know what I'm saying? Youngest men in AEW. The Grizzlers and FTR picked up right where they left off in their previous match. I do think there was a little bit of an overstuffed nature to this match, but hey, it was really good, so I can't complain, you know? Dude, when Roosh and Dak started smashing each other, bro, I was like absolutely fucking losing my shit. You know, I was like, oh my god, these guys are going to murder. There's going to be a murder on this match. And, I mean, it wasn't a murder, but there was a fucking shock victory, Charlie. Roosh picking up the pin here. Was not expecting that. We were watching this live, which happened to be like flipping between, I think, what, college football and this at the time or something like that. And we flipped this on in the middle of it, and it just happened to be like on this match. And we were like, okay, we'll watch this match and then watch the Nigel segment. Fuck it, you know what I mean? And so, because we really wanted to see what Nigel was going to say, because we've all been really locked in on that, obviously, me, you and our friend Dart. So we wanted to see what he was going to say there, right?
So we caught the end of this match, and we caught this, like, I think we caught Roosh and Dax through all the way to the end, and Roosh picking up the win. And we were all just like, what the fuck? Holy shit, Roosh picked up a pin? What?
Very excited about that, yeah.
You know, like, so yeah, that was pretty cool. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was literally my reaction in my head. I was like, anyway. But yeah, Nigel then came out after this. Well, I guess he's walked away from the commentary table, walked up onto the stage, has some harsh words for who he referred to as Benign Danielson. That one did not quite land for me, Nigel, but see what you're trying to do there. Says Brian fears him, tells him he should do it for the fans, even if he's not going to do it for himself or for Nigel or for his family. He should do it for the fans. Then Tony Schiavone stands up from the commentary desk, tries to involve himself, defends Brian Danielson, says that he's only saying these things because he knows Brian can't basically be there to defend himself. Because he knows that Brian believes that he does what he does for the fans. And that's the only reason he keeps fighting, is because they believe in him. He's trying to manipulate him into coming against his own interests to fight him so that he can get some extra personal glory. Basically, I extrapolated all that from the 2 minutes that we got from, or whatever it was, from Schiavone, which I think was the intended story there. I could just be inventing shit here, but I think that's what they were going for. Yeah. If anyone else had basically just shit on my soul, you know, like you just did, you know, because you're a Brian fan, I would have kicked the shit out of them. Basically, because we're, you know, broadcast partners, I won't. So go sit the fuck down and shut up, basically.
He does.
And he says it's time for them to meet at Grand Slam. It is Nigel McGuinness's destiny. Called him a coward a little bit more. This is just phenomenal shit, Charlie. This is maybe one of the best promo segments in AEW history, and people will say that it's not. It was. If you're still thinking this match isn't happening after watching this, because he said in the segment, oh, he might not even be there. I mean, dude, if we're still at the stage of wrestling where wrestling people are going out there and carnying us in that way, we're fucked, and I'm over it at that point. You know what I mean? Like,
oh my god, if AEW does that, and there's no way.
No, if it, that's,
I will be so fucking,
that will
upset.
Kill, that may tank the fucking re-signing. You know what I mean? Like,
could you imagine the audience, the crowd at that show, if they do that?
They'll walk
Sorry,
out.
Sorry, guys, Danielson's not here.
Some people will genuinely straight up walk out. I'm not They'll even leave. Kidding. There will be people that are just there to see that match.
They didn't just pay $45 for fucking parking to see that shit happen.
No.
And then walk fucking half a mile.
Why would you? Stadium. Why would Brian and Nigel bring all of this up just to shit on us? I mean, that would be the fucking shittiest thing. It would be such. And I just can't see Brian being involved in anything like that. Like, maybe we know nothing about him actually, and he's really a piece of shit backstage, right? I doubt it, but like, you know, who knows? Yeah. You never know with fucking celebrities.
You never know.
Right?
I mean, we don't know him personally, so.
So who knows? Maybe that's his plan. Maybe he wanted to win the championship, and as soon as that happened, he's gonna fucking, you know, void his contract and fucking go back to WWE, and then fucking they're gonna watch it all fall apart. You know what I mean? Who knows? You know what I mean? I don't think that's the case, though. I don't see that being the type of person that Brian is, and that's nothing that's happened so far has led me to believe anything that's not positive is going to come out of this. I think we're going to get one of the best matches of all time out of these two. I think they've both been wanting to have this match for since Nigel was medically cleared, and it just didn't come up because they tried to come up with reasons for it, and they actually wanted to set it up. You know what I mean? And I think it'll be really awesome. And I guess that'll take us into Grand Slam predictions, right?
Yeah. And
unless you had something you wanted to add about this.
Yeah, just to piggyback off that point, I thought that was a fucking excellent ending segment. I love the All-Star tag. I think that was a legit shock winner. And I hope that that's a sign of Roosh and Beast Mortos maybe being a team together. Or if they're going to be singles guys and, you know, just having each other's backs, I'm cool with that too. I think that's a great sign.
Bro, we need a tag team like that. Why don't we have one where it's just two dudes that are really good wrestlers? I mean, we'll probably have it in effect because
in
Kyle
a way,
and
that's
Will.
Kind of what I thought we were doing with the conglomeration, but they're all tagging together a lot more than I originally thought they were.
Well, that's what I'm saying. No, I want a tag team. Like, maybe that's what I should look. Maybe I should give conglomeration a little bit more credit for being this then. Because what I'm getting at is I like the idea of a tag team that does tag pretty regularly, but also does have singles matches pretty regularly.
They're just friends. Yeah, conglomeration fits that. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, sure. That is something neat about them. That's why they feel different.
Yeah. I mean, they're selling a lot of merch too.
Cool fucking looking merch. That shirt's really sick looking. And you can wear it in public. Hey.
Hey.
Scissor me, daddy ass. Go ahead and wear that in public.
Good luck with that. Wear that when Trump gets elected.
Grand Slam predictions, eh? All right, guys. Hey. Hey, if you're going to Grand Slam tonight, fucking enjoy the show, man. Seriously, have fun.
Bring a sign with you that says...
I always like to wonder if people are, you know, because if you're, I feel like if you're in
it's
that
mindset
of going to some like event or something, like you just, you're fucking tunnel visioned on it. You know, for us, we'd be fucking probably listening to a book, but I'm sure there's a lot of people that are like seeking some wrestling content, just getting more and more excited, right? All right, let's open up with the big one here, Duke. AEW World Champion Bryan Danielson versus Nigel McGuinness in a non-title match. It's odds. You're going first. Who you got?
I would love for Nigel to win this match and get a world title shot, right? I think this is Bryan finally putting it to bed. I think they have an amazing match. I think it sets up Nigel to want to wrestle more in his career. I think Bryan walks into WrestleDream to face Darby Allin.
Hell yeah.
Which
I have
obviously
no idea
why
I'm picking this, but I think Nigel's winning.
Dude, that'd be awesome. I would
Maybe
love
it's only because we've win. Seen his side of the argument in these promos. Which if we were nitpicking something, right? Maybe having Bryan Danielson giving some feedback would be really good for this, right? If we had to nitpick, that'd probably be it. But
oh yeah, just get one segment where he shows up in the middle of him talking.
I'm in. I think Nigel's gonna fucking win this thing.
I think they just they had Bryan talk for the last like couple months leading up to the last couple matches, right? He's been a very strong member of the show. He probably wants some time with his family after the big lead into the pay-per-view and being over in London and all that, you know what I mean? So, you know, he probably just wants a little bit of time off with the championship, which he's earned. If anyone's earned it, it's 100%. Probably anyone's like, fucking Nigel can sell this story on his own. I don't need to do shit. Nigel's been fucking teasing this for fucking maybe that's the rib, is that Nigel kept asking him to do this the entire time, right? And he just kept saying, nah, I got other shit, you know what I mean? And he's like, finally, now that he's got it, he's like, oh, but you're doing everything, though, you know, like, it's to be like, fuck you.
John Moxley versus Darby Allin for Allin's AEW World title shot.
Yeah, it's weird. There's like a part of my brain that is like, wow, John Moxley should probably win this, right? He has all the momentum, but I don't think Darby Allin's losing this title shot. That doesn't feel right to me, especially given the place that WrestleDream is going to take place.
Therefore, let me help you out. There's a cop-out to this.
Oh, Christ.
We're not going to have a winner.
Oh, no. DQ. Yep, you're probably right.
No, this is your triple threat at WrestleDream. Doesn't that just make all the sense in the world?
It would.
Yeah.
I would like that.
Yeah, I don't think we get a winner here.
That makes me worried that Darby's probably not winning the championship then.
But here's the thing. As long as he's in the match,
I'd rather him just beat Bryan. No, if we're going to have him win, just have him straight up beat Bryan. That's what you need to do. I don't want it to be a triple threat at that point. I would find that decision to be the wrong decision if they decided to make it a triple threat. And
it may or may not be, but I'll tell you what's going on, the way the booking feels right now. So
I'm with you. I'm fine with it being a triple threat as long as either Bryan retains or John wins the title. I don't want it to be Bryan versus Darby versus John, and then Darby wins. I just don't want that because I don't want Darby to have – I don't want there to be a fucking pockmark on Darby's win. I don't want that. I want it to be a legit fucking – because you know what's going to happen. There's no fucking way that it's not him and John that are going at each other and Bryan hurt on the outside because of something that Moxley did. You know what I mean? There's no fucking way they have Darby pin Bryan in that scenario if they can get away with not doing it. You know what I mean? Because then they can have that match with Darby as champion or something like that. So – if we're just going to do that, if the end game is, in my head, ultimately going to either be Darby versus John for the title or Darby versus Bryan for the title, one way or the other coming out of the match, why not just have one of those matches now? And then, I don't know.
The other catalyst being, I don't want Danielson's last match to be a triple threat. Like it
that also, too. That would be really stupid. Like, what are we doing there? Unless it's like the greatest triple threat of all time.
That match was a triple threat, so. Yeah, I don't know what the decision is going to be, but I don't see a winner here. So I'm taking a cop-out answer, which I don't think I've ever done on one of our predictions. So
it's understandable. I feel you on that.
AEW Tag Team Champions, the Young Bucks, defend against Will Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher. Double champion Ospreay?
It's time.
It's time? Okay. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I want to agree so badly. And the United Empire flash at the end really, really got me thinking maybe. I'm taking Young Bucks here. Fuck. I'm rooting for Ospreay, though.
Yeah, I mean, it would be really wild for Yuka to win this championship here because it would just be very sudden. It would be a very, very, very bad indictment on Mariah May if she were to lose the title this fast, you know?
Yeah, if she loses it this fast, I would say, yeah, they lost faith in her as champion. I feel like she hasn't really had a chance yet, so, yeah.
It would be mind-blowing if she lost the championship.
I got to retain here. Yeah, you?
Yeah, 100%. Like, I just don't... Yeah. I don't know. You'd have to do some crazy shit to justify it, and
Prince Nana will provide an update on Swerve Strickland. That'll be cool. An FTW champion, Hook, defends against Roderick Strong.
Man, the match everybody is fucking jumping out of their seats
for. I'd be more interested if it wasn't for that title. Is that fair to say?
No, yeah, I think the FTW titles doesn't mean anything. I think everybody knows that. I don't know why Roderick Strong gives a fucking rat's ass about it. You know what I mean? Like,
I feel like it pigeonholes this because I think Hook's winning, and I only think that because the title's on the line.
Well, yeah, because Hook, there's like one type of person that can beat Hook for this championship, and it's a mega established heel. And Roderick is a mega established heel, but we just had the last feud be that. So we're not going to have Roderick do that now. I think maybe they just need to retire the FCW championship. I hate to say it, but it doesn't do anything for Hook, really, you know, because
we have three singles non-world championship belts in this company. We don't need a fucking another one. That's,
yeah,
it served its purpose at the beginning. But now it's, yeah.
I mean, he can carry it around. He just needs to stop defending it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right. We jump to AEW Collision Grand Slam, where MXM Collection to reveal what they did to Max Caster's jacket. We have the Lucha Libre Triple Threat Hologram versus the Beast Mortals.
That could easily get to 4.5 stars, you know?
Yeah. I'm going Hologram.
Oh, yeah. Hologram. Get some Lucha fucking dub. Oh, yeah.
Heavy Continental title eliminator match. I'm going Okada, but I'm rooting for Sammy Guevara.
Same, yeah. Bud. I'd like Sammy to win, but you never fucking know. He's not fucking Canadian, so you never know. He doesn't have the fucking secret to beat the Japanese, you know?
Lumberjack strap match. Hangman Page versus Jeff Jarrett.
I mean, Hangman Page better fucking win this, fuck's sake. God damn. If Jeff Jarrett wins this match, I'm retiring, you know?
Same, yeah, Hangman. Saraya versus Jamie Hayter in a Saraya Rules match.
If Saraya wins this match, I'm retiring.
Jamie Hayter, yep. Tornado Trios match. Chris Jericho, Big Bill, and Brian Keith versus Orange Cassidy, Kyle O'Reilly, and Mark Briscoe.
If the Learning Tree wins this match, actually, I could win this match. I don't give a fuck, you know what I mean?
Nah, fuck it. Brian Keith pins Mark Briscoe. Let's get that title.
I know, fuck it. Here's the thing. You really can just kind of pick whoever you want to get the pin. I wouldn't mind Big Bill getting some big spots in this match. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If there's opportunity for that there. It depends on how much time this gets. Jericho will probably pin Mark Briscoe or something like that. Nah, that would set up a title match. Probably not that. Maybe Kyle O'Reilly. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. Something will happen. Shenanigans will be afoot.
In the final match, Jack Perry TNT Champion.
Oh, here's an idea for that match. What if Jericho adds a new member to the Learning Tree and that's how they win that match?
Hey.
I don't know who it'd be. Powerhouse Hobbs? He's been on the shelf for a while. It'd be a good time to bring him back. Yeah, I mean, that would be... He's in another faction. We can't just... the War Dog. War Dog making a late entry, as always, you know?
No. Jack Perry TNT Championship Open Challenge.
I hope... There was a... Who did we say we thought was going to answer this challenge?
Daniel Garcia, Ricky Starks, Wardlow are probably my top three.
If it's any of those guys, great. If it's just some random guy, also fine. I mean, it could be.
What if it's returning Adam Cole?
That would be cool.
That'd be a shock to the system.
Hey, I see what you did there. But that would be undisputed.
Lashley? I mean.
That would be pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some fun here.
Opportunities.
Lee Moriarty?
That would be good.
I think there's a lot of fun here.
Plenty of opportunity. Shane Taylor. That could work.
Shane and Jack would put on some fun stuff. I think it's going to be Dustin Rhodes, though. That's what I'm landing on.
Triple champ, Dustin. Let's go.
Yeah. That's it for us, though, guys. Long show today. Hope you enjoyed.
My brother never held three championships at the same time in AEW.
Yeah, he never did. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Thanks so much for hanging around. Enjoy Grand Slam. We'll be back next week reviewing Grand Slam. And... I think we're going to be talking a little Continental Classic next week. I think we're going to have some fun with that. So we'll catch you guys later. Hopefully there's not Brawl Slam. Brawl out at Grand Slam. I don't know. You could probably think of something better. That being said, God.
Well, the Grand Brawl. I don't know.
The Grand Brawl. There we go. Hopefully there's no Grand Brawl. We'll catch you guys later. Thank you very much. This has been Eat Sleep Elite.
Top freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy. And I do not have a catchphrase.
Go fuck yourself.
And I am a sports entertainer.